Portions of this program the may following be pre-recorded. Program
is sponsored.
The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
You're on the John Fredericks Radio Network. Joining us now, Stephen K. Bannon, host of the hottest international radio show in America, War Room, heard 10 to noon, Monday to Saturday on the John Fredericks Radio Network. Now heard on our new acquisition stations, WNTW AMA 20, 92.7 FM in Richmond, Central Virginia, Petersburg, all the way to Newport News. Stephen K. Bannon, Monday to Saturday, 10 to noon. Steve, great to have you with us, man.
Well, thanks for having me, John. I just want to also toss out there that Newsmax rebroadcast the entire live John Fredericks Radio Network and AVN live streaming Dish 219 at 11 o'clock every night. So it's we've gotten great distribution from our distribution partners. Everybody's doing a terrific job. You guys are a great co-producer of the show. So we want to thank everybody with the ever-expanding John Fredericks Radio Network.
Well, thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. Just made another acquisition, as you know, put them in our family. We now have the biggest footprint of anybody in Central Virginia, bigger than WRVA, that legacy station. So we're looking forward to really good things. And I've already gotten comments from our listeners on the new stations. We carried you for the first time on Wednesday. I got a bunch of texts and emails saying, wow, I can't believe I'm getting Steve Bannon now in Newport News and every place else. So great job.
Well, listen, for your audience is that people are having an impact. This show is we translate the show right afterwards into Mandarin. It blows through the firewall. You know, I'm public enemy number one in China by the CCP. And the reason is because of the audience response to the show. The Chinese Communist Party is very concerned about having the deplorables, kind of having the Trump base and working class Democrats actually find out what the true story is behind China's rise and the Chinese Communist Party's enslavement of their own people. So it's been, you know, the audience has had a tremendous, tremendous impact on world events over the last 3 or 4 or 5 months.
Steve, I want to get to John Bolton. As you know, I'm not a fan. John Bolton, biggest warmonger, neocon in America. He's been wrong on every foreign policy decision in 4 decades, unrepentant. I couldn't stand it when he was being considered for that position. I said on the radio that he would be a disaster. He doesn't back the president. He doesn't believe in the America First policy vision, doesn't believe in his foreign policies. He would try to undermine him. And I predicted, I said, this will end badly. He'll get fired and then trash the president in a tell-all book, which is exactly what happened. The guy's unrepentant, just like the whole Cheney family is. Everything they've ever done is wrong. What's up with this guy now?
What are we going to have? In fact, we're going to put it up for a vote today on war and pandemic. One is John Fredericks going in as either chief of staff or deputy chief of staff in the White House. You were 100% right on this. Wasn't even close. You predicted it down to the exact thing that happened.
Well, he keeps putting people in there that don't understand his vision, don't like the guy, don't want him to succeed, and try to undermine the America First policy vision. And, you know, Steve, the thing is, the America First vision of the deplorables, if you will, this is going to transcend President Trump, hopefully in, you know, 2024. But this isn't just one guy, right? This is a movement.
Well, no, but I think this is the point, and this is why I would take the book head on. I wouldn't argue, one, it's a pack of lies, and that other, that it's classified. I would take the book on and as the content of the book. I think at least what I've seen in these excerpts, in the writing, if you really think about it, it's President Trump, once again, really going against what American national security and foreign policy has been for the last, ever since President Reagan left on the Bush administration, for the first Bush administration.
See, that's it.
If you read the details of what Bolton has leaked in the book, it is once again the managed decline of our political elite versus a guy who's making changes.
That's it.
And how John Bolton can sit there, and I'm sure you're going to hear from Lighthizer and Navarre and others over the next couple of days how he can argue that the president has been soft on China or looking for China to help him in his thing is on the face of it ridiculous. I mean, Bolton was never supportive of Peter Navarre and Lighthizer's trade deals or the aggressiveness with trade. But President Trump and the CCP says this. This is the whole reason. The most important thing that's happened in the last 48 hours is not John Bolton's book. You have the signal and the noise. That's all noise. This is all noise. The signal is the Mike Pompeo meeting out at Hickam Field at Pearl Harbor that the Chinese requested. Right? The Chinese requested. And this fake story, this fake story in Bloomberg where they interview eight senior Chinese officials saying, oh, they really want Trump to win because Trump's leading America to decline and Biden would be tougher. That's all misinformation. The Chinese are absolutely scared to death, to the core of their being, the Chinese Communist Party is scared to death that President Trump would be reelected. The Chinese people, all the dissident groups, to a person, and in fact, this new federal state of China, which is this announcement of the expatriate billionaires, sports figures, cultural figures, have announced a government in exile, 100% is saying that the thing that the Chinese Communist Party is afraid of is a continual confrontation with the Trump administration. And I think you're actually moving the entire debate over. I think even Democrats are now starting to become hawks. That is all because of the Trump movement, 100%, and the leadership of President Trump. To win in November, if he is to win, Joe Biden's going to have to become not a running dog of the CCP. He's going to have to somehow put up that he's a China hawk. Look, last night, the anti-Trump, I think the Lincoln Project, took out, immediately when Bolton's book hit, they had a big negative ad on President Trump. Now, President Trump has come back or had over the last couple of days a negative ad about Biden in China, but China is going to be a central part of this election campaign. I would take the Bolton book on as it is. Mm-hmm. It sounds like there's a lot of misrepresentations and spin and all that. But if you look at the facts, it's President Trump enforcing an America first. And this is not America in decline. This is America with allies. The big thing about NATO is they have to pay more and act like an alliance. Everybody knows, and it was the Secretary General of NATO that talked to us about NATO had stopped really functioning as a true alliance. They weren't paying for their military. Mm-hmm. They weren't doing joint exercises. We didn't have interoperability. Mm-hmm. Everything that you talk about an alliance, NATO wasn't doing. It's Donald Trump that enforced that, put more money in, has made it a better alliance. Look at what's happening in India right now. India, this border clash with China is very, very important. It's up in the Himalayan mountains. Well, Modi, you know, India did this, China did this during the 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis. They attacked India up there. The India of today is very different than the India then. That's because you have Modi, a true nationalist, prepared to fight back and not just kowtow to the Chinese Communist Party. So there you have conflict, and Modi is a strong ally of President Trump. The biggest rally President Trump's had in the United States was with Hindu Americans Republicans and Democrats down in Houston. I think 45,000 people when Modi came here, the Howdy Modi thing. So look at India, look at Japan, look at what's around the littoral nations of the South China Sea, including Vietnam and Australia. The biggest pushback we're seeing right now on China right now is by Australia. They were kowtowing to China a couple of years ago. Why? Because Donald Trump's taking leadership. It's very simple. And then just go through the Bolton book, chapter and verse. How can John Bolton and these guys sit there that got us into this mess and advocated this debacle in the Middle East, that now President Trump has identified that China, Pakistan, Iran, Pakistan, who the Cheney Bush administration and Obama propped up with tens of billions of dollars a year of American aid, Pakistan is not our friend and not our ally. They're the ally to the Chinese Communist Party. Ask the guys in India. They will tell you that Pakistan is working with China right up in there in that very volatile section of the world. So it is Iran and Pakistan and China and North Korea and now Turkey and Russia. These are working in a beginning of an alliance to control the Eurasian landmass. Donald Trump is confronting that with, guess what? The Alliance of Liberty. And that would be South Korea and Japan. Yes, Hong Kong and Singapore, Australia, Vietnam, the littoral nations around the South China Sea and India. So I would take the Bolton book head on and just blow up John as, hey, you're wrong. You're the remnant of a national security policy and a foreign policy that helped bankrupt this country
right.
and failed. You threw away the blood and treasure of our country. Mm-hmm. And it's no longer acceptable. And yes, you see the impeachment process, first in Ukraine, which is, in Russia, which is a sideshow to a sideshow. Mm-hmm. And now in Bolton's book that talks about, I think, more important things like Iran in China. But tell me where President Trump's policy has been wrong.
Right.
He's kept us out of shooting wars, and he's done it in being very aggressive. The Chinese Communist Party is quaking in its boots
right.
because of Donald Trump, who just signed a bill on the Uyghurs last night. You look across the board at his actions, He's confronted the Chinese Communist Party. He's backed down the Chinese Communist Party. It's, to me, been pretty amazing what's been accomplished in such a short period of time against such resistance, and that's what Bolton's book should be read in the context of the resistance to this man's policies. And here's the thing, it's the deplorable, it's your audience who pay taxes and who kids serve. They're the kids on the ships patrolling the South China Sea. They're
right.
the kids at the 38th parallel. They're the kids on patrol tonight in the Hindu Kush Mountains in Afghanistan. It's their kids and their tax dollars. They've had enough of it. And Trump's fighting it. And guess what? The Trump foreign policy, I think, is winning. Definitely winning. No doubt about it. You look across the border, either Iran and China, and you see that he's breaking both of them.
Stephen K. Bannon with us, host of War Room. Stephen K. Bannon's War Room, 10 to noon, Monday to Saturday, John Frederick's Radio Network, The Dish Network, Satellite TV 219, replayed Newsmax 11 p.m. at night. You can hear him right here starting at 10 a.m. Steve, you absolutely nailed this. That's why I so much love having you on. You nailed it. You got to take this book, like you said, head on. You can't be doing the fringes about some of it's classified and it's fake news. And, you know, we went through that with impeachment. You said the same thing with that. You got to take this head on.
Hold on.
And you were right.
We started War Room because I came on your show.
That's right.
And you were giving me the fake news and all
that's
that.
Right.
John, you're the smartest guy I know. What Kool-Aid are you drinking?
Right.
This is the point. Don't go to the margins. Forget the classified. Forget
right.
the lies.
Right.
The book's out there.
Right.
And it's going to be read. It's going to be commented. Let's take the book and see what it says. To
right.
me, it's very supportive of President. When you look at the separate out the signal from the noise, there's always a lot of noise. You look mm-hmm. at the signal, and you see a guy that's standing in the breach. He's not prepared to back down. He's going to make the NATO nations, he's going to make allies act like allies. And guess what? If you look up on the border of India and China, you see India acting like an ally. Modi has somebody he knows has his back, and he's up there, and they're throwing rocks at each other and pushing guys off the ledge. You know, there's hundreds of guys dying, but they're fighting. They're not going to back down. And the reason they're not going to back down is Donald J. Trump, the 45th president of the United States, has their back. That's the signal. The noise and all this other stuff, it's just noise. He's made a fundamental, and this is why they hate him.
Mm-hmm.
They're all out of work. They don't matter anymore.
Right.
The Richard Haas's and all these guys,
exactly.
the Staff Reeses and the General Petraeus's, it's all nonsense, and they're all losers. They led America in decline, so we were going to look at Bob Gates. Compare Bob Gates' book out here. He's a joke. This is one of the guys that led us into this situation. He's sitting there going, oh, China, everybody hates them, don't have allies. Well, hey, guess what, dude? Iran, the mullahs in Iran and Pakistan are their allies.
Mm-hmm.
One belt, one road, and working with them every day.
Mm-hmm.
This is how the mullahs exist. This is the kind of nonsense, the kind of idiots that have driven American foreign policy, killed American kids, American boys and girls, and spent, $8 trillion in the Middle East in two debacles that we didn't win?
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. And Donald Trump has fought that, and guess what? He's led America to a better place, and he doesn't have us in shooting wars all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what Bolton, those guys hate. If you go back and look at that thing with Xi, Donald Trump understands information warfare, and he understands economic warfare.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to take America kids and have them bombing everywhere. This is what Bolton and these retrograde guys want. They think the American military should be the tip of the spear. No, it's one arrow in the quiver. It's got to be a powerful arrow. But our biggest strength is our culture, our information, and our economy. And Donald Trump, with Lighthizer and Navarro, understands economic warfare. McMaster's and Bolton, these guys, never got it. What they want to do is they want to intrude everywhere, whether it's Syria, whether it's in Iraq, whether it's everywhere they want to go. Venezuela, they always want to go down there, guns blazing. You know why? Because they're not at the tip of the spear. The American young men and women are. right? And this is ridiculous. And this is what Donald Trump stood up to. We're not in any shooting wars right now because Trump won't allow it. But, hey, information and economic war, he'll take you head on, mullahs in Iraq, mullahs in Iran, and crush you. This is why the mullahs have such a tough time. That's why the general was flying around, the one that we killed, the reason he was flying around, Suleiman, because of the fact they had these riots in Beirut and Baghdad, because of economic warfare, because of sanctions. Donald Trump's smart enough, and they hate the fact that he's smarter than they are about what the practicalities of real American power is.
Oh, you're so right, because taking it head on, really it isn't about the margins. It's about, it's an expose of the neocons and Boltons and all of them. They're failed globalist intervention, warmonger, Lincoln Project-style foreign policy that has failed for 50 years. And so you're right. This is about the managed decline of America. They're no longer wanted. Nobody cares what they say. America First Policies has overstepped that. And so you're right. Trump should say, hey, this is the book to read, because it is going to show you how desperate the neocons are and the warmongers are to get us back into a globalist interventionist state, which I am fighting to get us out of, right?
100%. And not just that, you're also leading with the existential threat, the great struggle of the what I call the unfinished work of the 20th century, is the Chinese Communist Party. It's the last totalitarian dictatorship. He's actually winning in the containment and the alliance of that. Japan, Vietnam, Australia, India, they're all on board, right? We have real allies who are prepared. Look at India on that border. That is a major geopolitical situation today. And India is not backing down. Okay? That shows you the power of what Trump's put together. That wasn't the neocons. They're not wanted anymore, and they don't matter anymore. All they matter is Morning Joe and these shows they yammer on about their more failed policies. This is the biggest collection of failures. The Democratic and Republican national security apparatus. That's where the Never Trump movement came from. Never Trump movement came from the national security apparatus, right? Why? Donald Trump doesn't do it. And the other thing you should understand is that if we lessen our commitments and have allies pick up more of the burden, which we have to have, all of a sudden the defense budget doesn't have to be as big. And if you use economic warfare and information warfare, which is what you have to use in the era of artificial intelligence and social media, guess what? The defense budget can actually start to come down, and maybe eventually we can start to balance some budgets.
You are so right. Tell me about your thoughts on the president drawing down troops in Germany by half, 50,000 to 25,000.
Well, I think the Europeans have, first off, I don't think there's a big threat. When I was in the military and I was in the Pacific Fleet, but then came back to the Pentagon, you know, the Russians coming across the North German plain was the, that was what President Reagan, one of the things, we had Pershing missiles and, you know, defense in depth and a standing army there from World War II of, against the Soviets. I don't think that's the burning issue today. I'm not saying we shouldn't have alliances and troops at different places. I don't know if 25,000 is the right number or not. But certainly to redeploy these and to repurpose, particularly to Asia, right, and around the South China Sea and up in the East China Sea, and in an alliance with India and Australia and Vietnam and, you know, Taiwan, South Korea, and Japan. You know, we've kind of disengaged from the Pacific. President Trump's, you know, President Obama tried to do that. It's called the pivot to Asia. That was the centerpiece of his national security policy. Guess who he deputized to do that? If you guessed Joe Biden, you'd be absolutely correct. Guess who was an abject failure in that? If you guessed Joe Biden, you're once again absolutely correct. So President Trump has done a real pivot to Asia. And I think we need to smartly reallocate where exactly our troop strength is and what patrols are done by the United States Navy, what's done by the Air Force, what do we forward deploy in conjunction with allies, in conjunction with Japan, and India, and the other allies we have in the region. So I think it's very smart. There's not a threat of the Russians coming across the North German plain. Heck, Merkel's in business with them. Merkel's their biggest business partner. And the Russians are in a demographic death spiral. They got an economy the size of New York State. I keep saying Russia's a sideshow. The one thing we should do in Russia is not force them to partner with China, which kind of this city has done because they treat them like the biggest enemy in the world. Are they bad guys? Absolutely. Are they run by the KGB and a kleptocracy? Absolutely. But if memory serves me correctly, in 1941 and 42, we also partnered with a guy named Joseph Stalin. A thousand times worse than Putin, okay? and to defeat the fascists. So the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Right now, we have to think about how to take down the Chinese Communist Party. That cultural Marxism spread throughout the world. If you want to look at Antifa, what is Antifa? Mm-hmm. Antifa is a strong, is a totally Marxist organization.
Right.
You see what they're doing? It's the cultural revolution that the Chinese Communist Party ran in the 1960s. This is as obvious as anything. You don't hear Bolton, you don't hear the neocons, you don't hear Richard Haass, you don't hear Admiral Stavridis or General Petraeus. You don't hear any of those guys talking about it. You know why? Petraeus is a Willy Loman. He runs around the world for Stephen Schwarzman at, was it Blackstone, as a salesman, right, selling his classified information, what he knows is insider knowledge, to get more money to invest, guess where, in China to take American manufacturing jobs over there. The whole scam, and it's not, this is not conspiracy theory, it's in broad daylight.
Right.
They don't need a deep state. They do it in your grill, and that book is about Donald Trump fighting this. That's what I'm saying. Don't, it's, maybe some of it's probably misclassified. A bunch of it is lies. But just taking on the facts.
Wear it like a badge of honor, because the book would only come to be because he's fighting the globalists and the interventionists and everything else that have been wrong about foreign policy for 50 years, and they hate the America First agenda. So I think you nailed it. I got to go, but I got one question from a caller in Shenandoah Valley. He says, John, could you ask Steve, why did Robert Lighthizer say yesterday that the U.S. can't decouple from China economically? Sounds like mixed messages coming from the White House.
That's what I love about your audience.
Yes.
That is, if you watch every show, that's the that's a great question, caller from Shenandoah Valley. Listen, I think the Lighthizer-Trump deal in May of 19 that they walked away from, the Chinese walked away from, those seven deadly sins, that would have integrated both economies. The official policy of the United States government right now is not decoupling. Lighthizer is trying, and the president, that's what the book's about. The president is trying to be a statesman and figure out some way to do it. It's the CCP that's decoupled from us, both technology otherwise. The ultra hawks and the super hawks, of which I'm proud to include myself in, are saying, no, they decoupled, we have to take them on. I think President Trump is doing something what a statesman does in trying to figure out, is there some way as a middle path so that this economic war doesn't go up to the next level? I think that's what Ambassador Lighthizer is doing. Remember, Lighthizer and Navarro are hawks, okay? They have held up the CCP and all their lies, all their misrepresentations, and fought for solid deals. I think this is President Trump trying to be a statesman. I think that's the official policy of the United States government. But trust me, Mike Pompeo was in their grill yesterday in Hickam Field at Pearl Harbor. So you shouldn't have any doubt of where the Trump administration stands on this. The CCP is not going to roll over, is not going to be able to roll the United States like they've done for 30 years under the Trump administration.
We're out of time. Stephen K. Bannon, War Room.
Thanks,
he'll be live on this network, 10 a.m. to noon. He's on Monday to Saturday. Steve, thanks for being with us. Thank you.
You're listening to The John Frederick Show. Common sense for the Commonwealth. Online anytime at thejohnfrederickshow.com.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind. Not a yes sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number, I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder.
Kids were laughing in my classes while I was scheming for the masses. Who do you think you are? Dreaming about being a big star. They say you're basic, they say you're easy. You're always riding in the backseat. Now I'm smiling from the stage while you were clapping in the nosebleeds.
Thunder. Thunder. Talk AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. Twitter has slapped another label on a tweet by President Trump, this time warning that a video he shared was doctored and escalating the social media company's crackdown on one of its most widely followed users. The number of newly confirmed coronavirus cases in Oklahoma has set a new daily record of 478. The Oklahoma State Department of Health reported that total confirmed cases rose to 10,515 from 10,037 a day earlier. Police say a peaceful protest in Portland against racial injustice turned violent early Sunday after police used flashbang grenades to disperse demonstrators, throwing bottles, cans, and rocks at sheriff's deputies near downtown's Justice Center. And spectators in North Carolina's capital cheered as work crews finished the job, started and removed a Confederate statue from the top of a 75-foot monument. This is SRN News.
As the will of the students goes, so goes the will of the nation. This is a central theme of the new movie, Return to the Hiding Place, the film about Corrie Ten Boom and her secret army of teenagers' heroic efforts to hide and save Jews from the Nazis during World War II. Corrie's story was made famous by her book and original movie produced by the Billy Graham Association. Now, 45 years later, comes Return to the Hiding Place, the untold behind-the-scenes true story of Corrie's secret army of student teenagers' efforts to rescue Jewish people. Told by Hans Poli, one of Corrie's teens in the resistance, Return to the Hiding Place is an action-packed film of the Dutch underground's true breathtaking rescue of an entire orphanage of Jewish children. Return to the Hiding Place, starring John Rhys-Davies. Watch this captivating movie tonight with your older children at salemnow.com and save 20% with the promo code FAMILY. Return to the Hiding Place at salemnow.com, promo code FAMILY. Due to historical content, might not be suitable for younger.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB weather.
Partly sunny days through next weekend with highs into the lower 90s. Then mostly cloudy at night down to 75. Expect about a 30% chance of rain through Monday night, then up to about a 50% chance Tuesday through next weekend.
As if we need something else this year, hurricane season is upon us. A couple of tips to help you prepare. Prepare your home. Cover your windows with hurricane shutters or wood. Remember, taping the windows helps keep them from shattering and sending glass everywhere, but does not protect the window from being broken. Get the yard ready. As the season approaches, make sure your trees and bushes are trimmed and your rain gutters are clear of debris. And bring in all garbage cans, yard furniture, decorations, or anything else not tied down. Early preparation makes all the difference. This message brought to you by...
You can increase traffic in your business simply by installing an ATM. Our ATM Your Profits will put an ATM in your business at no charge and maintain it at no charge. You'll see customers you never saw before. People use ATMs, and now you can get one installed at no cost or inconvenience to you. Just call 891-8080, 891-8080, or email our ATM Your Profits at gmail.com.
Great news, folks. The Lighthouse Retirement Hour is finally available everywhere you listen on this great radio station Saturday and Sundays, or grab the iTunes podcast, the Spotify podcast, iHeart podcast, and coming soon to every device where you can say Siri or Alexa. If you love the combination of timely investing news, great conservative politics, you're going to love this show no matter how you listen. Get all the links on my website, LighthouseRetirement.com.
It's the best of the John Frederick Show, y'all!
Corey Lewandowski, noted author, Let Trump Beat Trump, Trump's Enemies, New York Times bestseller, currently senior advisor, Trump Pence 2020, and he's joining us now. Hey, Corey, great to have you, man.
Good morning, Corey.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Martha, and congratulations on the new acquisition. You're getting bigger and bigger every day, which America needs to have people like you who continue to reinvest and have the opportunity to tell the truth. So to you and Ann and the entire family, congratulations. Woo-hoo! And good luck this weekend in the baseball tournament. I hope you don't have to wear a mask while you're watching the game.
There's no mass. It's amazing. I was at the tournament last weekend.
John, just the catcher.
Just the catcher was a mess.
The catcher's going to wear his mask.
Virginia has completely busted out. They're defying the governor. They don't care what he says. I don't know if there's other states doing this, but, I mean, last weekend here, Corey, at this tournament, there were 3,000 people. There were 50 teams. I think 8 people had a mask on, no social distancing, people hugging each other, all the players high-fiving. Nothing was different, all in complete defiance of the governor's lockdown orders, phase 2 or whatever it is. All in defiance, nothing happened, nobody cared, it's over.
John, it's so strange because your governor has this affinity to masks, or as we call them, hoods. Sometimes, right? Yes. When he was in school, remember when he wore the hood, or he didn't actually want to admit if he was the guy in the hood or the guy in blackface? And by the way, just a pass from the media now. They're saying he's such a great governor. The hypocrisy never ends in this country.
Well, he's a hostage of the far left wing and the far left in the Democratic Party because they allowed him to stay in power. They took him hostage and he has to do whatever he says. It's sick. Corey, I'm going to talk about this rally coming up on Saturday. How do you get 1.1 million people to go online and request a ticket to a rally in Tulsa in an arena that seats under 20,000 people? How do you get 1.1 million people requesting
tickets? So awesome.
John, this is a testament to how many people want to come out and support the president.
Yes.
For what he's been able to do for the American people. Look, we've seen some big rallies before. We've seen some, you know, high RSVP numbers before, but nobody, and I mean nobody in the history of American politics or probably in the history of America at all, has ever seen anything like this. This is historic. When you've got a president who's going to a state like Oklahoma, which is not historically focused as we get into the last 20 weeks now of the election, to see presidential candidates coming through because we know it's going to be a reliably Republican state, we see the president going there on Saturday. The outpouring of support, which is obviously not just from the people of Oklahoma, but from around the country who are saying, we want the president back on the road.
That's
we
right.
want to come out and hear his message directly. This is what this is all about. The American people are ready to, as you said, John, to have our country open again and have the president out talking to them directly.
Corey, the jobs numbers in May were phenomenal, right? We talked about that last week, 2.5 million jobs created. Now, the Democrats are in a dead ring panic, and they're afraid that we're going to get similar numbers in June, July, and August, and Trump is going to get reelected. So now their ploy, now their ruse is to not open up schools because they figure, well, if you don't open school, a lot of moms and dads can't go back to work, so that hurts the job numbers. It'll also hurt the economy because you're not buying sneakers and shoes and back-to-school supplies. Is their education being ripped out from under them for political gain?
Well, I think it – look, I really think that we have to look at the opportunity for children to go back to school in a very, very hard way. Don't forget, John, the retail numbers that were posted in May, a 17.7% increase in retail spending is the single largest spending increase in the history of our country. You couple that with the job numbers, with the professionals, and I use those terms in quotes, told us that we would lose 8 million jobs and we gained 2.5 million.
That's right.
For a total – net of 10 million jobs the experts are off by, John. Not one or two, 10 million they were off by, okay? These guys are so stupid they can't find their butt with both hands. So here's what we're doing now, John. We're saying to parents, hey, remote learning is a good thing. We're concerned about the coronavirus pandemic impacting your children. Let's look at the numbers. If you're under the age of 30, and I'm not trying to belittle these, I'm just trying to give you the facts. If you're under the age of 30, which I would think, at least in my household, all of the kids that go to school on a daily basis are under the age of 30,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
You know how many people have contracted and then died from the coronavirus under the age of 30 in the United States? Less than 100 people. I'm not belittling that number, but clearly children are the people who have the strongest mm-hmm. immune systems by and large. They're the ones who are least at risk. But it's very easy for these Democrats to simply politicize their education, and look, John, I'll tell you this. You know, in my family, we just got our report cards. My four kids all just get the report cards. My youngest, who was in the third grade, just simply got a pass-fail.
Right.
And so, obviously, he passed the third grade. He went on. But my daughter, who's going into her eighth grade year, And I feel terrible for the kids who are in eighth grade and seniors in high school and graduated from college because they couldn't do it with their colleagues and their right. friends and their classmates. You know, she's as nervous as can be because now we're putting all of this pressure on students to learn remotely at home. And, look, she got straight A's last year, and she put a lot of effort into it. I'm very proud of that fact. But if we're going to retool our entire education system, then the question is, why do you have to live in that school district if we're going to be remote learning? So, hey, maybe the best school district in the country is not in my hometown of New Hampshire. Maybe it's in XYZ town, right? If I'm going to remote learn, I want my kids in the best school district. Isn't that the case?
That makes perfect sense to me. If we're going to reimagine police security, we should reimagine education. And now we're distance learning. So why should you be stuck? Why should, in Richmond, where we are today in my studio here, we're in the studio. Last year, 30% of Richmond high schoolers, get this, 30% dropped out, didn't graduate. We have a 70% graduation rate in Richmond. So if you're in Richmond and you can't go to school, why can't you do distance learning and go to, I don't know, Virginia Beach, where it's 98%?
Right. Or Beverly Hills, John. What does it matter, right? If you're distance learning, what does it matter if you want to go to Beverly Hills High School in California and you want to be part of that group of students? Because if that's what we're going to do, then let's really look at this. Let's stop being punitive against our students. And that, look, hey, my kids, we're fortunate. We've got a great school system. But let me tell you something. The other thing is this, John. 80% of the taxes in my little hometown of New Hampshire go to the schools. That means maintaining buildings and all these other things. Mm-hmm. Hey, if we don't need those things anymore, then mm-hmm. guess what? I want a tax break, okay? Because I don't need a giant, colossal $100 million high school anymore right. that the school built 3 years ago.
Right.
I want my money back because the kids aren't using it. I want a discount. And guess what? The government doesn't like giving discounts, okay? The government doesn't like giving your money back. They're very good at taking your money, but not so good at giving it back. So if that's what we're going to do in this country, that's going to potentially, and we have to seriously look at this, potentially give people in the inner cities the opportunities to go to remote learning in places outside the inner city that they couldn't get into because of where their household is, right? It also means that we shouldn't be paying taxes on these places if we're not using them. And, John, let me just, and I know I'm on a little bit of a hot button on this thing, just remember, when where we are now in this world of defund the police, and your listeners know, as a former police officer, I am against this movement 100,000% with no equivocation. But just think what happens if students do go back to school and we end up in another situation like we did in Florida where there was a police officer there, but he refused to act when there was a gunman in the school. Now we're saying in some places we don't even want a student resource officer to be at the school full-time. God forbid something happens again, there will be another outcry. And so I think these people who are in the this area in Seattle don't think through appropriately all that is entailed as they go and encourage a defunding of police.
Well, I don't know who they think is going to protect them in Minneapolis or Seattle. What happens when you call 911? I think I got the stats earlier last week that there were 250 million calls last year, 2019, to 911. Think about that, Corey. 250 million 911 calls. Who are they going to call? Social workers? I mean, you call 911 when somebody's breaking into your house.
Hey, Antifa, can you swing by when you guys get coordinated and swing by and see if you can help out? You know, my mother just had a heart attack. 911 isn't working, and so let's call Antifa. I mean, come on, this is outrageous. This is lunacy at its best. This is political correctness run amok. This is everything that Donald Trump ran against 4 years ago and is continuing to run against today. We are a civilized society. We're the greatest country in the world. We are a nation of law and order, and I think that's very important. And look, the media, the fact that they're giving this chop, as you will, so much attention is only fueling the flames. The fact that the city up in Seattle is negotiating, and I use that term loosely, with some of the leadership there to define the barriers, and now they're putting cement barriers in place to give these people legitimacy, is craziness. I mean, this is crazy town, John.
It's unbelievable what is going on, Corey. And you look at this, and then you look at the public polling, right? And you have to ask yourself, these polls can't be real. I mean, are people really going to vote to defund the police, put themselves at risk, tear down all of the statues, including Washington? Now we're tearing down Thomas Jefferson statues, Washington. There was somebody on went on CNN the other day. They want to destroy Mount Rushmore. Where does this end, Corey?
Well, John, here's where it ends today, and you've seen this. I think it's Quaker Oats has three white children on their cereal box. They're saying, that's racist, take those people off, right? That's what they said today. One of the well-known cereal brands has three white children on their cereal box, and has probably been there for 100 years, and they're saying, you know, you must take those off. It's not right anymore. I mean, look, hey, I'm all about inclusion. I really am. But when we're ripping down statues of Christopher Columbus and Abraham Lincoln and George Washington, we're doing a disservice to future generations. We're doing a disservice because it's important to remember our founding fathers, what they went through. Okay, the patriots that they were to take on the British, to literally lift their lives and their fortunes so that we would not be governed by a king back in 1776. And look, it was not an easy battle. George Washington didn't have this massive army that everyone just volunteered for. These were literally farmers and peasants who gathered, in some cases, pitchforks and anything they could find, rifles, to go and fight the British. And it took years. And that was part of our history. And we have to remember that history. We have to remember what Ronald Reagan said. Freedom is only one generation away. It's not passing the bloodline. You know, it's not how it works. We have to protect it. Every generation has to protect it. And we're going so far to the left that we're going to look back at this time in the year 2020 and in 30 years from now say, this is where it all went wrong. And this notion, John, and it drives me batty, that we can't continue to honor the flag, that it is, you know, I heard this basketball coach, this NBA basketball coach who's probably making, you know, millions and millions of dollars a year coaching kids who play a game, say that the flag is just a symbol, it doesn't mean anything. Hey, why don't you get your butt and go sign up like a guy by the name of Pat Tillman did, who was an NFL football player. He signed up and went out and gave his life for the privilege to honor that flag. And these hypocrites, John, drive me crazy. And the day that we stop honoring the flag is the day that I just don't know if this is the country that I can be in anymore.
Well, what they've said basically is the flag is just a piece of cloth that represented a country that was founded on looting and slave owners. And so it was not something to be honored. And so kneeling down or trampling on it or burning it was fine because it's not really something that we should be proud of. And that's what that basketball coach said. I think that's Popovich at San Antonio. The guy makes millions of dollars. He just hates America. You know, when you start saying your flag is an empty symbol of looting, now you're basically debasing the whole reason for the country, right? And you undermine the founding fathers, and you say that, you know, they were not good people. And so now there's no reason to be like America's just, you know, a mass of land, right? No borders, right? Shouldn't have a border, shouldn't have a country. Now we're back to that again.
John, it's lawlessness is what it is, okay? They think it's racist to decide that the president wants to secure our border so we can know who's coming into the country. They think it's xenophobic to say, hey, if you're from certain countries like Syria and other terror-prone nations, we don't want you here unless you've gone through a thorough background check. Look, this is not the United States of you do whatever you want. There are laws, there are rules here, and we are the greatest country in the world and the greatest country the world has ever seen for a reason. But this notion, if you are an outside observer and you're looking at this and you're saying, how is it possible that a group of basic hoodlums, protesters, have taken over marauders, whatever you want to call it, a number of city blocks in a major U.S. city, and now we're negotiating of how much room they can continue to have with complete lawlessness. How is it possible?
Unbelievable. It's like I'm living in the Twilight Zone, Corey, when I see what's happening there. And look, they've erected border walls. They have, they're picking who enters into their into their designated zone. They've got armed guards. I mean, all the
AR-15s, the same AR-15s that they wanted us
that
to ban.
That they want us to ban.
By the way, I just got to tell you this story, Corey, because you know my wife, Ann. We had a debate, I don't know, about 2 months ago. We have a bunch of guns, and she was in favor of buying more when all this happened, so we did that. And I said, my son and I said to her, you know, we need to get an AR-15 because, you know, something happens. It's not to shoot a squirrel. We need to protect ourselves. My son's 16. You know him, too. And Ann was like, I mean, she went nuts. She was, no, we're not getting an AR-15 in this house. No. And, you know, look, all the kids know, and I know after 30 years with her, you know, no means no. You know, she dies on every hill. It's like, okay, we all backed off. All right, Mom. All right, Ann. Okay, it's fine. It's fine. Don't get upset. We're not going to get an AR-15. 2 weeks go by, all this other stuff happens, right? 2 weeks go by, Saturday, she says to me, why don't you call Bob and be sure they don't run out of product, she said. And why don't you put a deposit on that AR-15 so we can pick it up next week and then get training on it. No, like, in-between narrative, like, I thought about it, and maybe I'm wrong, I have to make another decision. Like, it was adamant, no, you're not getting it, it's not coming to this house. 2 weeks after that, it's like, hey, go put a deposit on it, with nothing in between. Now, what does that tell you right there?
John, what it tells you is, and no, the media doesn't want to report this, because it doesn't fit their narrative. What it tells you is suburban women who may sometimes not like the way Donald Trump speaks about things or the way he delivers his message or his brashness, are law and order by and large. What it tells you is that women who have families want safety and security for their families, as do other women. But see, that narrative doesn't fit. What we always hear from the media, John, is that Donald Trump is losing educated white women because of his rhetoric. What they're not doing right now is you don't hear that from the media, because when you go and pull this information about defunding the police, 58% of the U.S. population is against defunding police. When you go and you dive into those numbers, you see that educated suburban women, particularly those who are moms and have children, are saying, we don't want to defund the police. We want law and order. We want security and safety. We want to make sure the businesses that these women have started and worked so hard for are protected. And I think your wife, and I'm not trying to lump her into this, is an explicit example of this. Because what she is seeing and what others are seeing around this country is bedlam, is chaos. And her number one priority, like my number one priority and yours and hopefully every other parent out there,
yes,
is the safety and security of your family first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And look, John, hey, I've never hidden the fact that I'm a gun guy. You know, I built a house around a gun safe, right? That's what I did, and I've never hidden that fact. And hey, you know, I hope nothing ever transpires that would cause me to need to use those weapons in the safety and security of my family. But there is no equivocation on my part. If it's me or a bad guy, I know I'm picking my family every time. And that's how it is. And I think your wife and others are saying, we don't know how far this bedlam, this craziness is going with people who are, you know, ripping down statues, destroying businesses, and destroying our communities. And when do they march to your house? When do they come through your neighborhood? I don't know, but I can tell you my little neighborhood here in New Hampshire had staged a series of National Guard members last week for concern and fear that they were going to start marching through here. And the governor did a fine job of responding. But that doesn't mean you don't want to be personally prepared, and I think your wife understands that.
Corey Lewandowski, I'm just about out of time. Kiara says I got to go, but I just got to ask you this one question. How do we win in November?
It's very simple. We need Joe Biden to be out talking to the American people. We need to remind everybody that Joe Biden is the nominee. This election is as much about Joe Biden as it is Donald Trump. This is as much of a dichotomy in the election as it was in 2016. Joe Biden is the swamp. Everybody knows that. 50 years in Washington, D.C., Donald Trump is still the outsider, just because he's only been there for 4 years. And the real question is, do we want to move forward and bring our economy back and allow safety and security, or do we want to pander to the left, allow Joe Biden to be influenced and overseen by those who believe the Green New Deal is not enough? And so it's really a question of which direction you want to take the country. Unlike Barack Obama and Mitt Romney, who many could argue were, you know, very similar on policy issues, these two people, Donald Trump and Joe Biden, could not be further apart. And this election is about that.
And you have called for a number of debates, right? You want 6 debates.
I do. I want them starting right at Labor Day. I think it will continue to highlight the differences between these candidates. It will give the American people the chance, because we know Joe Biden has been hiding in his basement. He has to come out. He has to answer questions. He has to do interviews. And he has to stand there on the debate stage and articulate to the American people how he allows people, where he raises money for people who are supporting the Green New Deal, the biggest boondoggle in American history, how he will cut our U.S. military greater than the president, even increase our budget, how he will continue to make us a laughingstock on the world stage by not forcing our allies to pay their fair share at NATO. This is a change election. 4 years ago, the candidates were very different. They are as different today as they were 4 years ago. That wasn't the case when John McCain ran against Barack Obama, and it wasn't the case when Mitt Romney ran against Barack Obama. It is the case today, and the American people have to decide. Do they want law and order and economic security, or do they want to go back to the way it was? Open borders, don't care about the economy, don't care about offshoring jobs. We're going to kiss China's butt every day, and that's the future of our country. That's what's at stake in this election.
John Fredericks, Radio Network. I want to thank Corey Lewandowski
for
being with us. Corey, thank you so much. Thanks for everything, and thanks for your time. Trump, let Trump beat Trump, Trump's enemies. Get on Amazon, your favorite bookstore, New York Times bestseller. Now a must-read more than ever. Thank you, Corey.
June 20th, 1893.
Some folks say she didn't do it, and others say, of course she did. They all agree Miss Lizzie B was a problem kind of kid.
A jury finds Lizzie Borden innocent of murdering her father and stepmother with an axe at their home in Fall River, Massachusetts. The grisly killings and Borden's trial received massive media attention for its time in the United States. 1837. In London, Britain's Queen Victoria begins her record reign of 63 years, following the death of her uncle, King William IV. 1943. Race-related rioting erupts in Detroit, a sign of unrest on America's home front during World War II. Federal troops are sent in 2 days later to quell the violence, which leaves more than 30 people dead. 1967. In Houston, boxer Muhammad Ali is convicted of violating selective service laws by refusing to be drafted during the Vietnam War. The U.S. Supreme Court ultimately overturns Ali's conviction. Already stripped of his title, Ali is allowed to return to boxing more than 3 years later. And 1975. Jaws, Steven Spielberg's movie about the terrifying great white shark, is released. The monster box office hit is widely considered to be the film that launched the Hollywood blockbuster. Today in history, June 20th. Camille Bohannon, The Associated Press.
I got a feeling that tonight's going to be a good night. That tonight's going to be a good night. That tonight's going to be a good, good night. I feel it. That tonight's going to be a good night. That tonight's going to be a good night. That tonight's going to be a good, good night. I feel it. That tonight's going to be a good night. That tonight's going to be a good night. That tonight's going to be a good, good night. I feel it. That tonight's